Well, I card you, Shaw, Jerry Adams, Arish, August Morris Grat, a Sula Gumsa, go well, Shiv Shigumoy, August go Ru Sus Nakaska, Moy, Libsha Foster, August Tome, Galanta, Eganur Shaw. So, what to start with? Well, there's no getting away from the awful, deadening, soul-destroying tragedy and genocide of the people of Palestine, of the Palestinian territories, particularly of the Gaza Strip, by Netanyahu's forces. And some 15 years ago, it seems, not as long as that, but I led a Sinn Féin delegation on a visit to Gaza, the Gaza City. And the visit was 7 weeks after another assault between the 27th of December 2008 and the 18th of January 2009 by Israeli forces. And in that attack, they killed 1,400 Palestinians, including more than 400 children, and injured thousands more. And schools and hospitals and infrastructure were also targeted. Our delegation was impressed by the resilience of those we met, and especially by the medical staff who worked hard to provide a health service despite Israeli restrictions on medicines and spare parts for radiation and other medical equipment. 15 years later, and all those places we visited, from the Islamic University to the Al-Quds Hospital to the Al-Shifa Hospital to the local council offices to schools, factories and homes, have been totally obliterated by Israeli forces in the last 6 months. On Monday, after 2 weeks of bombarding and besieging Al-Shifa Hospital, Israeli forces withdrew. They left behind a scene of utter devastation. Hundreds dead, and the hospital, the largest in the Gaza Strip, is in ruins. The wards full of patients that I visited, the radiation centre where those with cancer were treated, they're gone, smashed into rubble. The Gazian health ministry said dozens of bodies, some of them decomposed, have been discovered from in and around Al-Shifa medical complex, which is now completely out of service. The scale of devastation in Gaza is beyond anything witnessed in war in recent decades. Over 30,000 killed, almost 15,000 children dead, most of Gaza destroyed beyond repair, and the deliberate starvation of the people there, which is now part of the Israeli war strategy. Last week, in a scathing report, Anatomy of a Genocide, United Nations Special Rapporteur Francesco Albanese examined the crime of genocide as perpetrated by the State of Israel. In the conclusion to her lengthy and detailed report, she states that the overwhelming nature and scale of Israel's assault on Gaza and the destructive conditions of life that is imposed on the Palestinian people reveal an intent to physically destroy Palestinians as a group. The UN Special Rapporteur concludes that there are reasonable grounds to believe that the threshold indicating the commission of the following acts of genocide against Palestinians in Gaza has been met. She identifies these grounds as killing members of the group, causing serious bodily and mental harm to group's members, and deliberately inflicting on the group conditions of life calculated to bring about its physical destruction, in whole or in part. Genocidal acts were approved and given effect following statements of genocidal intent issued by senior military and government officials. She also condemns Hamas and the other Palestinian armed groups for October the 7th and calls for the release of all hostages. As the Israeli government continues to claim that it is abiding by international human rights law, the special rapporteur accuses it of distorting that law to treat Palestinians and their infrastructure as terrorists or terrorists supporting. This allows them and their allies to justify its actions on the basis that everyone living in Gaza is either a target or collateral damage, hence killable or destroyable. In this way, no Palestinian in Gaza is safe by definition. On a visit to the University of Galway here in Ireland just before the publication of our report, Francesca Albanese was critical of the Irish government's stance. She said, "There's this tendency to be very supportive with rhetoric, as Ireland has, but when it comes to taking concrete actions, there is zero. Not a little, zero. The countries that have been most outspoken, like Ireland, what have they done in practice? Nothing. And this is shameful. It is disgraceful." The subsequent decision by the Irish government to intervene in the case initiated by South Africa against Israel under the Genocide Convention at the International Court of Justice is a welcome step. But it will take months to come to a conclusion. In the meantime, the genocide continues. The government needs to do more. It should immediately enact the illegal Israeli Settlements Divestment Bill. It should enact the Occupied Territories Bill. It should use every possible sanction available domestically and step up efforts to suspend the EU-Israeli Association Agreement. And it should recognise the state of Palestine. In addition, the government should implement the recommendations in the anatomy of a genocide report, including support for an arms embargo on Israel, ensure a thorough, independent and transparent investigation of all violations of international law committed by all actors, including those amounting to war crimes, crimes against humanity and the crime of genocide, including referring the situation in Palestine to the ICC immediately in support of its ongoing investigation. And then finally, it should ensure that Israel, as well as states who have been complicit in the Gaza genocide, that they acknowledge the colossal harm done, commit to non-repetition, bring in measures of prevention for full reparations, including the full cost of the reconstruction of Gaza, for which the establishment of a register of damage with an accompanying verification and mass claims process is recommended. That's what our government should be doing. Of course, this island and internationally, Easter time is an occasion when Irish people celebrate the courage and determination of those men and women who, for many generations, fought for Irish freedom and self-determination. And this year, solidarity with the Palestinian people was a major part of every commemoration. We are confident in and grateful for, but not complacent about, the progress made by our struggle. We have a lot more to do to win our freedom, but win it we will. And when we do so, we will continue to keep faith with the struggle in Palestine, because we know that Ireland's freedom will be incomplete without the freedom of Palestine. And I just want to slip a little poem in here. I usually leave it to the end, but I think it's appropriate to say it now. And this is from Luke Kelly. "For why died the sons of Roisin?" I'll give you a shortened version of it, and I will add daughters. "For what died the sons and daughters of Roisin? Was it fame? For what died the sons and daughters of Roisin? Was it fame? For what flowed Ireland's blood and rivers that began when Bran chased the Dane and did not cease nor has not ceased with the brave sons and daughters of 1916? For what died the sons and daughters of Roisin? Was it fame? Was it greed? For what died the sons and daughters of Roisin? Was it greed?" So, my friends, Wonderful building on the Falls Road, Áras y Cánila, the James Connolly Visitor Centre, celebrated its 5th birthday at Easter. Located in the very heart of West Belfast Gaeltacht Quarter, I think it's better to call it Belfast Gaeltacht Quarter, the Áras was opened 5 years ago by an Uachtaráin, Michael D. Higgins, and Labour and trade union leaders from across Ireland, the USA, Canada, England, Wales, and Scotland. Now, I frequently visit the Áras. It celebrates the life and times of our great leader, James Connolly, who was executed by the British for his part in the 1916 Easter Rising. And it commemorates the key role he played in the struggle for workers' rights, for the labour movement, and for Irish freedom. It's also a world-class visitor centre exploring the life of Connolly through a unique interactive exhibition, a library of writings by and about him, historical objects relating to Connolly and that period of our history. And all year round there are engagements with communities, with schools and other visitors. There's also a cafe which provides a really nice cup of coffee. And in the last 5 years, the Áras has welcomed 80,000 visitors, and thousands more have attended its debates, discussions, music and film events. Visitors include former President Mary McAleese, First Minister Michelle O'Neill, actor Adrian Dunbar, journalist Michael Portillo, historian and trade unionist Mike Lynch. I don't know if Mike would like to be called a historian. I meant to say historian David Olugasi and Mike Lynch, the trade union leader, who actually told a British television audience when he was asked who his hero was, said James Connolly. And there has been trade union support from even farther afield, as director of Falsha First to Hear, Harry Connolly, has noted. Our brothers and sisters in the North American trade union movement, without their support, Áras y Cánila wouldn't exist. Our long-standing advocates and friends, General President Emeritus of Liuna, Terry O'Sullivan, and John Samuelson, the General President of the Transport Workers Union, provided support from the very beginning. Connolly's legacy of internationalism and workers' solidarity on both sides of the Atlantic is still felt today. We're extremely grateful, Harry goes on to say, for this support, and will continue to preserve Connolly's legacy. Brent Booger, General President of Liuna, will lead a delegation of US trade union leaders to Ireland this September and will build on existing links and partnerships. And at an event to celebrate the fifth birthday of Áras y Cánila, Economy Minister in the North, Conor Murphy, formally launched in Scale Gujee Shaw, The Story So Far, a report detailing Áras's first 5 successful years. And Conor said, this centre is a shining beacon of what neighbourhood tourism and community wealth building can be. So go gardaigheas to all of the team on this important milestone. So Shane Aharja, since I started to write and record this podcast, 78 workers in Gaza have been killed, and I'll return to that in the next podcast, but it's again another despicable action by the Israeli Defence Forces. Guramila Magov, Gunirianta, Livsha, Ah, More, Orov, Shinawil, Kara.